I'm Jez Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Monday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Rob joins the program to discuss Atletico's 3-0 win over Celta Vigo on Sunday afternoon at a stadium called Wanda. Not Atleti's best performance in this recent run of form, this recent purple patch they've been on, but a very effective, very clinical performance nonetheless. Antoine Griezmann, a goal and an assist as he continues his sparkling individual run. Vitolo scoring his first league goal, Angel Correa adding some polish as Vitolo's replacement. We'll talk about another great outing from Griezmann. Gabby's post-game comments about Griezmann, which, perhaps, if not sent some alarm bells ringing, definitely perked up some ears. We'll talk all about that. Vitolo's first goal and a really good display for him, even though it was less than an hour, his best display in an Atletico shirt to this point. We're also going to banter about Diego Costa's epic beard game, how he nearly killed Sergi Gomez in the second half, and everything else from that game and the weekend in La Liga, which saw Atleti consolidate second place, still 7 points ahead of Real Madrid and 8 points behind leaders Barcelona. We're also going to preview Atletico's trip to Moscow on Thursday, the second leg of their Europa League round of 16 tie against Lokomotiv Moscow. We'll discuss the first leg a little bit before we launch into the second leg and take questions from Colchonero Chat amigos. Before we proceed, however, make sure to subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts, iTunes. If you're an Apple listener, make sure to leave a rating and a review to help get more eyes and ears on the program when people search Atletico Madrid related terms such as Spanish football podcasts, and so on. Colchonero Chat will appear toward the front of the queue, so please leave a rating and a review. In addition, you can become a Colchonero Chat amigo at patreon.com/colchonerochat. Lots of goodies for you, including our weekly bonus pods or rumor roundups, one of which we did today. It's now available for Colchonero Chat amigos to listen to. patreon.com/colchonerochat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
Exactly. Oh yeah, we do it for them every single day.
All right. You know, all my people who never made it.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that you have also been keeping an eye on the Kanye March Madness bracket.
I have.
Yeah, that captivated me for a large period of yesterday.
did you have? I haven't even. I got to pick my final four in that, man. But it's so hard to do.
It's extraordinarily difficult. Yeah. I went through and had to listen to a few of the older songs that I hadn't listened to in a little bit, but it's well put together.
Yeah, I listened to Graduation this morning.
That is my personal favorite. Yeah,
is it? It inspired me.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Could we real quickly rank Kanye albums on the pod?
Yes, let's do it
real quickly. Okay, you first.
For me, I would go for Graduation, followed by My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, then Late Registration, then Dropout.
Wow.
Then 808. No, then Pablo, then 808, then Yeezus last.
Dropout fourth. That's wild.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid I was a little... I think because I wasn't really a conscious rap fan in 2004, I was, it doesn't have the same sort of nostalgia that some of that Late Registration does.
I'm going to go MBDTF number one.
Yep, I think that's fair.
Yeezus number two. Love Yeezus. That has been a very controversial opinion that I've given in the past.
Yes.
So he's number two. College Dropout number three. Graduation fourth. Life of Pablo five. And then Late Registration 808s.
Most people will put 808s near or at the bottom.
It's not that 808s is a bad record. It's just he's got so much other stuff that's better.
It's not like any of them are bad.
Yeah.
But, well, and of course, no, in the bracket it does include Watch the Throne, which is, you know, not canon.
I don't, exactly. I don't count Watch the Throne.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, there's some good ones on there, but no, I wouldn't count that as a pure Kanye.
Well, that's good. We understand each other. This is excellent.
Yeah, we know where we're coming from. It says a lot about a person.
When you can rank Kanye albums.
Their feelings about the Kanye albums, yeah.
It's a good segue into the football. Into the football,
yes,
Rob.
Indeed.
Into the football, we now go headlong. With match day 28, which is very nearly done. The final game of the week going on right now between Alaves and Betis. Hashtag always watch Betis. Betis currently up goal to nil. But let's go back to Friday, where Girona, Rob, they might actually do it, man. Girona, 2-0 winners over Depor. They are now 2 points off of fifth.
My goodness.
2 points off
fifth. Girona in Europe after one season in the Primera.
Unbelievable.
Can it be done?
I don't know what I'm more surprised at, that Christian Stuani has found life again, or that he's doing this at Girona, a promoted club, who now are, again, just 2 points off the fifth place in La Liga.
1 year move from playing for the most boring team I've ever seen, that Middlesbrough team from last year.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was a bad team. So, yes, bless him.
Man. But yeah, they beat Depor 2-0. Depor are in huge trouble. The Clarence Seedorf experiment, I'd say it's not going very well. They're now 5 points adrift of safety.
Yeah, good player. Maybe not such a good manager.
Yeah, it's bad. On Saturday, Eibar 1, Real Madrid 2, Cristiano Ronaldo at the double as his great form continues. We've seen this movie before. Madrid hang on to third place. Sevilla 0, Valencia 2. Big result there. It pretty much ends any hope Sevilla had of cracking the top four this year. Valencia, probably their best performance in several weeks, at least I thought. They've pretty much wrapped up top four and just a point back of third. Getafe 0, Levante 1. Levante finally got a win. About time. A Koke goal in the 79th minute and a win at Getafe. That's a tough place to go and win, so kudos to Levante getting that done. The last game on Saturday, Malaga 0, Barcelona 2. Barca went at about 40% here, if that, to beat 10-man Malaga. If they had wanted to win this 6-0, they could have.
Right, exactly. They didn't need Messi for this. And yeah, I mean, that second half was one of the worst second halves I've ever seen.
Like, why couldn't Messi's wife have given birth last week? This is my question.
I mean, really? Come on.
She had to wait till this week? You kidding me?
I mean, you gotta say, she has pretty good timing. Of all the match weeks, you want it to be against Malaga.
Yeah, unbelievable timing. On Sunday, staying in Barcelona, Espanyol 2-1 winners over Real Sociedad. Espanyol are unbeaten in their last, I think it's their last seven, actually. Yeah, they're unbeaten in their last seven.
They've been pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, relatively speaking, they have an outside shot at Europe. They're eight points back of the last Europa League place. We'll talk about Atletico in a minute. Las Palmas 0, Villarreal 2. The best part of this game was the post-game comments from Paco Gemes, who just totally ripped his team a new one. Said, we're going to work ourselves to the bone. If we need to call up eight players from the academy, we're going to do so. We don't deserve to be in La Liga. Okay, Paco.
Yeah, he's good for a bit of a quotable, but yeah, not really the inspiring leader approach.
Yeah, it's bad. It's still pretty bad there. There were some good feelings after the draw against Barcelona, but since then, losses to Celta and Villarreal. Villarreal's red kits, by the way, are gorgeous.
Huh. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, it's kind of like an orangish kind of red. Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I'm really sad we haven't seen them very much this year. And finally, the last game Sunday, Athletic getting a win. They beat Leganés 2-0. Leganés kind of sliding down the table a little bit, but still pretty much safe. They're 13 points clear of the drop. All right, the one result we didn't talk about, that is Atletico Madrid 3, Celta Vigo 0. Atletico 3, Celta 0. Where do you want to start, Rob?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. Let's start with Vitolo, because he finally got a start, which is something we thought was going to happen a lot sooner. But it just seems like it's taken a while for him to get in the team, but I thought this was his best performance yet.
Yeah, pretty clearly. Even though it was less than an hour, he scored a really, really pretty goal. Was the goal better, or was Griezmann's assist on it better?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the assist was better. I mean, the goal was fine, but I enjoyed his overall play more than I enjoyed his goal. I think he really put a shift in sort of the way that we thought he would when he first signed.
It was a very Simeone-type winger performance, wasn't it?
Very. Yeah. Very much so.
Really, really gritty. He wasn't sloppy in the tackle like he was against Malaga, and I think he had like 6 fouls in 50 minutes, right? Something like that.
That's right, yeah. There's being committed, and then there's being a little overzealous.
There's to the point of being sloppy.
You're right.
This was, I think, especially in the first half, a very Simeone winger-type performance. The work rate was excellent. The interplay, particularly with Koke, was really good. His passing was effective. His distribution was very efficient. And when he had his chance, he took it.
Yeah, and we knew sort of the reasons why Simeone's always wanted Vitolo, and he showed why today. I mean, he really worked yesterday he worked his socks off. That's sort of what I was expecting to come a little bit earlier in his time at Adelaide, but, you know, he had sort of a weird first half of the season, so I was willing to give him a little bit more time.
He did, and he had that injury in the Copa del Rey in December, and who knows how much that might have thrown him off. And plus, you have to factor in that Simeone is a guy who, it's very hard to play for him. It's very hard to break into his team consistently. And the guys who do don't ever get dropped. So, which is why we were talking about Juan Fran as a thing forever until, like, the second half of this season. But for Vitolo, really, really good performance, I think. He's got to start more from here on out, especially with the squad as thin as it is. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, considering Atleti are pretty low in numbers right now, just 19 players now after the movements last month. So Vitolo's going to play more.
Yeah, I think so, and especially with this performance. I mean, you and I have been begging for a winger to play all season, but Carrasco never really earned it, and Correa has been streaky, but Vitolo, I think if he keeps doing this kind of thing, he'll find himself starting more often.
He kind of has to, and just anything that gets us out of the Quattro Pivote, anything that...
Yes!
Anything, man.
God, please.
God, yes. Please.
Yeah, I don't really ever want to see that again, but I know we will.
Yeah. Speaking more about the performance at large, I didn't think this was Atleti's best performance. I don't think they were particularly good on Sunday. Definitely, I want to compare it to the performance against Lokomotiv in midweek, which we'll talk about later. I didn't think Atleti were that good, but they punished Celta for missing chances. Because both times, the first two Atletico goals came almost immediately after Celta missed a huge chance at the other end. And sometimes that's all you need. The 3-0 scoreline was a little deceptive, but you could also argue Atleti deserved it because Celta missed their chances.
That's right, they did miss their chances. And I also didn't think Celta was particularly good or deserving of a result in the match. They had a couple really good chances, but they squandered them. And other than that, I don't think that they created a whole huge amount of them. So it was a professional job, I think, after kind of a disappointing match last weekend and a good performance midweek. Though I don't think Lokomotiv were brilliant. So.
Not even close.
No. Yeah, so that worked out. But, altogether pretty good. I wasn't hugely impressed with Celta. I think Imre Moore was the only player for them that was particularly dangerous. I think he caused some problems. Because we're not really used to dealing with the kind of tiny, tricky dude.
You're right.
Generally, yeah, so, yeah.
Iago Aspas had a. Speaking of tiny, tricky dudes, Iago Aspas wasn't very good. Moore was good, but Maxi Gomez. Looking at Maxi Gomez's heat map, he was just pretty much in midfield the entire game.
Right, he was really pushed back. It was an interesting match. I didn't totally expect it to be easy, and the scoreline makes it look easier than it was, but. Still, I thought Celta might put up more of a fight. Iago Aspas was particularly quiet.
Yeah, it's weird to see him quiet because he is everything for Celta. Everything goes through him, and when he doesn't play well, you get results like this. But he was the first one to miss the huge chance around 40, 41 minutes. Godin gave the ball away in front of Oblak. Aspas had a really good chance to open the scoring, and he just curled it wide. 4 minutes later, Griezmann scores a really, really good goal with his right foot, kind of pulls the ball back, jukes Johnny, who also had a really bad game, jukes Johnny, Ruben Blanco, and just pings it into the top corner, as accurate as you like.
Yeah, that was a beautiful goal. It was kind of an accidental assist from the corner. I think it was
Jimenez.
Josemar, Godin. Both of them went Jimenez. Up for it.
Yeah, it was a very accidental assist, but they got credited for it.
Yes, exactly. That was not a real assist. But, yeah, it fell to Griezmann. But, man, he put that top corner.
It was beautiful. It was a great goal. And then the second goal, Nemanja Radoya hit the post, just smashed the ball against the post from Emre Moore cross. And, like, literally the next attack down, you see some interplay at the edge of the box. Griezmann hits this reverse pass to Vitolo, who chips it in for his first league goal for Atleti. And it was, I think the finish was excellent. The pass was great.
Finish.
The finish was just beautifully clipped.
Yep, and it was. I couldn't tell if Griezmann was trying to do a no look pass for that as well. I was trying to see, but the replay kept cutting away. So I can't definitively say yes because La Liga replays are terrible.
It's La Liga replays, Chuck.
Yep, they're all over the place, and they keep going for far too long. But yeah, that's a story for another time.
And then 5 minutes later, or thereabouts, Correa, who had just replaced Vitolo, he scores, quote-unquote bulldozes his way through both center backs. His first shot is deflected, and then that was Correa's first goal in a while. I can't remember the last time he scored.
Yeah, it has been one. He's had this, yes, and he has had a string of some very poor performances. Yeah. Of late, but it was good that he got on the score sheet. I was honestly surprised that he came on that early in the match, and for Vitolo as well, right after he scored.
Yeah, that was a bit disappointing to see Vitolo get less than an hour, but Correa did well. I think it was the right decision, and Simeone has to pretty carefully manage this now, considering he's got such a small squad. He's got to really carefully manage his best players' minutes.
Yep, that's right. And, I mean, maybe that'll end up being a good decision. And I was surprised. I mean, Simeone went nuts when Correa scored.
Yeah, he did.
He was so happy. He was happy about his substitution paying off, and fair play. So, it was good for Correa to get a goal. He really hadn't done a whole lot in recent weeks, and it was a nice goal, too. Trademark Correa hard work. Kicking it against someone else and getting his own rebound. That was pretty nice.
A really delightful finish. Some more notes from this one. All 7 Atleti shots were inside the box. We don't see that very often at all. Kind of maybe a change in approach there. Atleti have not conceded a goal at home in La Liga since January 20th, when Girona scored in a 1-1 draw. So nearly 2 months without conceding a goal at a stadium called Wanda. That's a decent run.
Yeah, not bad at all. Actually, you know, it's been a solid home ground for Atletico. I mean, there were plenty of worries when we talked about that last week, but it was a very nice result, I thought. I agree with you that I think that 3-0 is a bit flattering.
Yeah, it was, because only 3 goals on 7 shots. I think Atleti scored 3 goals from all their shots on target as well.
Yeah, but I think the chances they did create, though, were high quality, and I'd rather them have fewer but in the box rather than taking some Saul range shots.
although you got to admit, that Saul goal was just, it was like art.
When it comes off, it is nice.
So
it
nice,
is real
man.
Nice.
I think I yelped.
Maybe Saul should be the only one allowed to shoot from there.
I think I yelped when I saw him score that. I was like, oh, okay.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Goal with your bad self, Saul.
Yes, exactly. You might as well have a go. especially when no one else was making a run, as they weren't in that situation.
Let's talk about Griezmann for a minute. Goal and assist for him. Another just excellent display for Griezmann, as we've come to expect from him in 2018. Really, since the calendar turned, he's been magnificent. He came off with about 20 minutes to go. And remember, he is on 4 yellow cards. And the Madrid derby is just a couple weeks away after the international break. So how would you manage this? It's kind of a repeat of the Suarez situation with Barcelona
Yes.
very recently.
Yeah.
So how would you manage it? Then you have Villarreal next weekend. Then you have a home match against Depor, which that's a gimme. And then you have the derby at the Bernabeu.
Well, I mean, you know, not to, you know, worship at the Church of Suarez, but I think it may not be the worst thing if he gets booked next weekend against Villarreal and misses against Depor. I think of all the upcoming matches, that's the one I don't particularly mind Griezmann missing. I think, you know, either Gamero or Torres could do a job against Depor. He needs to be there against Villarreal because that's not going to be an easy match. So, and of course, if he's missing for the Madrid derby, that's going to be terrible. So,
yeah,
get yourself booked on 90 minutes if he doesn't have a yellow card against Villarreal. Take your shirt off. Take your shirt off.
Yeah, you just get, do whatever.
Knot it up in your shirt.
Do whatever just you do. Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. He should get booked against Villarreal, miss out against Depor, because if Atleti need him against Depor, then they are going to have big problems because Depor stink. I'm in complete agreement there. That's how Simeone should handle it. And he should use the Suarez thing as a cautionary tale, because Barcelona dropped points with Suarez not being at his best against Las Palmas. I mean, I know Barcelona are continuing this march toward an unbeaten season, but it's a cautionary tale, because Atletico, if they want any chance at all of catching Barca, or any chance at all of staying ahead of Real Madrid in second place, they need all the horses in the stable. So Griezmann should probably get that fifth yellow card next week. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, just be obvious, like Suarez was.
Yeah, because then you won't get booked.
Yes, exactly. The ref won't book you out of spite. So,
like, take off your shirt, take off your shoe, do the Art of Turin.
Yes, exactly. Just do something, Griezmann, and I'm sure that they'll figure out a way to get him booked. And I mean, Griezmann, you know, he's not averse to a yellow card every once in a while.
Yeah,
so it
every
may
once
just
in a while,
naturally.
He'll throw a strop every now and then.
Oh yeah, we've seen make it. A horrific tackle.
We've seen it.
We have seen some Griezmann bad tackles, that's for sure.
Or you can just yell at the referee like he did in Girona back in August.
That may be the most likely scenario.
Yeah, scream at the ref, get yourself a yellow for dissent.
Yeah, well, he's particularly good at that, so.
Diego Costa had a very quiet day, but when Sergi Gomez fouled him, like, just after halftime, I literally thought he was going to find a way to kill him. Like, Sergi Gomez, he was so afraid. He was like, I'm sorry, and just kept backpedaling as fast as he could with his arm up, and Costa was, like, just growling at him, like, I'm going to come over there, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, he knew he had done a bad thing, kicking Costa in the Achilles, so that was very worrying, and clearly after he got taken off, a little while after that, he went down the tunnel with his whole sock and shoe off, so
yeah,
that's somewhat concerning.
I don't think he'll play on Thursday. Regardless of if he's declared fit or not, I don't think he'll play. There's no need to play him.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got a 3-0 lead on aggregate.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't even be in the squad. Just don't even take him. Leave him at home. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, there was nothing said post-match about Costa's status, but I do want to say Costa's beard looked particularly rugged yesterday. Looked particularly full.
Yeah, he's in a fighty kind of mode. He's kind of quietly been on a bit of a dry spell. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, but these last couple weeks he hasn't found the back of the net, but I have no doubt that whenever he does play next, he probably will, because he's going to just be angry about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's fully fit right now, but his beard game is top-notch.
Yeah, so well, that's all that really matters.
That's a positive. Also a positive, Jan Oblak played, made a really awesome save on Maxi Gomez about 10 minutes from time, but Jose Jimenez was taking free kicks late on. So
that was glorious.
It was glorious.
I really enjoyed that.
So perhaps Oblak may also get some rest on Thursday with Atleti holding a pretty big aggregate lead over Lokomotiv Moscow. And before we move on to talking about Lokomotiv, we have a question from one of our patrons at Tres Gatos on patreon.com/cultchnerochat. Thoughts on Gabby's answers during the post-match interview regarding Griezmann? And what about the mumblings in the media of a new contract put in front of Griezmann this week? Now, if you missed what Gabby said after the match Sunday, he said, look, all I ask of Griezmann is that while he's here, he defends the shirt. I understand that not everyone feels Atletico in their heart, and that's fine. I respect, you know, someone's, you know, desire to change teams, but as long as he's here, he's got to fight. So So what did you make of that?
I thought it was great. I think Gabby he's one of the best possible captains you could have. Yeah. I mean, in a lot of senses, the captain is sort of ceremonial, but with Gabby, he really takes it seriously, and he bleeds for Atletico, so... I have no doubt that he forces Griezmann to care while he's here, and I think that's all you can really ask of Griezmann, especially sort of in the context of the modern game, where players change teams fairly frequently. And of course, you know, it's not like Griezmann hasn't played for another Spanish team before. So, you know, it is what it is. I think I'm not super... I mean, I've been convinced Griezmann was leaving for a long time now, so... You know, it doesn't bother me, and he's been great this second half of the season, so as long as he's scoring, I'm not going to complain about him.
This is why we love Gabby, right? This is why he is Atletico's captain. This is just pure Gabby. You know, this is why we love him. Regardless of... I saw some people on Twitter say that, you know, this is... Gabby's remarks were all the hallmarks of a guy who knows that Griezmann's leaving, which I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not in the dressing room. But I think the comments were succinct. I think they proved a point that as long as you're here, you have to fight. You have, just like the rest of us. You're not better than the rest of us. I think there was a lot of that in the first half of the season where Griezmann thought he was above this, and he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And Atleti suffered because of it. Now he, for whatever reason, for whatever motivation, he has locked in. Whatever motivations he has, he's locked in. He's in tremendous form. He's carrying Atletico here, and he's got them in comfortably in second place for now. And perhaps if Barcelona drop points at some point, you know, at some time in the near future, maybe still in with a shout at the title. Who knows? But regardless of whatever the motivations are, I mean, Griezmann's been great, and I think Gabby's message has gotten across to him, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think it's a perfect statement, because whether Griezmann leaves, if he leaves, you know, this statement makes all the sense in the world, but it also doesn't just chuck Griezmann under the bus like, oh, he doesn't really care, we don't really like him that much, he can leave whenever he wants to. So, you know, I think it was the perfect statement. So
yeah, we'll talk more about the stuff about the potential new contract in the bonus pod, in our rumor roundup for patrons, for our Colchonero chat amigos. But now let's talk a little bit about the Europa League. On Thursday, Atleti traveling to Moscow to take on Lokomotiv. We didn't do a pod after the first leg, but if you'd like to briefly summarize the first leg, Rob, before we talk about the second leg.
Saul's goal.
Yeah.
I think that was my main takeaway from that match. Juan Fran was on another level somehow. I don't know where he got that from.
Two assists. He was great.
Unbelievable. Yeah. He was the best I've seen him in probably a couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say that was probably Juan Fran's best game in a solid year and a half. He was great. Two assists. Atleti, I think we're going at about 60, 70% maybe for the entire game, and I thought they dominated, even though they didn't really have to get out of second gear.
Yep, I agree. And it was an interesting match. I was glad to see Hosema and Lucas start together at center back. I thought that was nice. I thought Axel Werner did pretty well in goal. I was somewhat worried about that, but honestly, I don't think Moya would have done a whole lot better in his place. I don't think it's a huge drop off from Moya to Werner.
Yeah, Werner didn't have much to do. He made, I think, one save.
Yeah, he made a pretty nice save, yeah. I thought, but we'll see more, I think, when we go to Russia. I think Atleti may be under a bit more pressure.
Perhaps, even with a 3-0 lead. This is the fourth year in a row Atleti are making a trip east in European competition. Yeah. And those trips are tough. Those trips are really tough. So it's a good thing Atleti have the 3-0 lead. That third goal from Koke was super important. By the way, the cross from Juan Fran that Koke swept home, it was a gorgeous cross.
Oh, excellent. Right along the floor. Perfect.
Yeah, I was really happy for Koke to get a goal, too, because it had been rough for him. But perfect place, right time for Koke. But that third goal, I think, was super important. 2-0, you'd feel comfortable. But at 2-0, it's like, you know, one goal and Lokomotiv are back in it. You know, one goal and Atleti have to go get a goal. Now at 3-0, you don't need to score.
Yeah, exactly. So
you can make this as boring as you want.
And more than likely, Lokomotiv are going to try to throw the kitchen sink at Atleti from the start, and that means they will get caught out on the break, and that just makes it more likely Atleti will get an away goal, and then it'll really be over.
Yeah, if Atletico score, Lokomotiv have to get five, and I doubt they're even going to get one.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't think there's much chance of that happening. It was great that Koke scored, and it was the most Koke goal ever, just like it was the most Saul goal ever. Yeah. Calmly placed by Koke in a smashed shot from a million miles away from Saul. It was beautiful.
It was a thing of beauty. 538 have Atletico at a 33% chance of winning the final. Arsenal are their next closest competition at 14%. Atletico, are they the clear favorites to win the Europa League in your eyes?
I think talent-wise, most definitely they are, but I just wonder how motivated Atletico are going to be. I know that that's sort of the thought is that Atletico are the best team, so therefore they're the favorite, but I just don't think that there's a huge amount of motivation within the squad or the management to win the Europa League. I mean, it'd be nice to have a trophy, but we're guaranteed Champions League football. What's really the motivation other than just getting a trophy?
I mean, I think Atletico are pretty clearly the best team in the field. Like, you could make an argument that Arsenal have, in terms of talent, that Arsenal are at Atleti's level, especially after what they did in the winter window. But they're Arsenal. They have a high capacity to Arsenal.
Well, and Aubameyang is not able to play in the Europa League. That's so true. I think that significantly weakens their chances.
Yeah, but they still have Mkhitaryan. They still have Ozil. They have some really good players there. And after Arsenal, I mean, Lyon are I think a dangerous team. I think Lyon have some of the kind of pacey, youthful talent that can trouble Atletico. Marseille are having a really good season. Leipzig are pretty dangerous, but really inexperienced. That said, they are dangerous. So I think
I'd say Marseille I was super impressed with. I watched them against Athletic and they absolutely steamrolled them.
Yeah, they did. It was ugly.
It was very ugly. And Florian Thauvin, I can't believe it that he's now become an actual real player.
Yeah, good job giving up on him, Newcastle. Good job.
Yeah. Good work. Well, I mean, it's not totally surprising that Newcastle screwed up a talented player. But
you've never seen that before.
No. Shout out to Mitrovic scoring for fun.
Shout out to Mitrovic, yes.
Oh, yeah. Good old Mitrovic. But, yeah, I think Marseille are good. Lyon, of course, they're hosting the final, so they have a bit of added motivation to get there. And, of course, they have some pretty nice young players like Bertrand and Memphis. So yeah. It'll be interesting. I think this, honestly, is maybe the best group of Europa League teams that we've had in the last few years. Normally by this stage, there's still some kind of losers left in it, but I don't really think I think there's a lot stronger at the top of the, order.
Yeah. There are some good teams here, but that said, I feel pretty comfortable with Atletico in most of these matches. I'm not looking too far ahead because we haven't even had the quarterfinal draw yet, but I would feel comfortable backing Atletico in really most of these matches. I mean, 538 has them a 47% chance of winning on Thursday. They've given Lokomotiv just a 22% chance to get out of the second leg with a win.
So, even then, it won't matter.
Yeah, they've given Atletico a 33% chance to win the final, 54% to make the final. But again, it depends.
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, according to them, they're the clear favorites. But it depends on how hard they're going to try. Depends on the draw. Depends on what happens in La Liga still. Because Atletico, Simeone said after the match Sunday that he wants to get to the last 5 weeks still with a chance. And if Atletico get within the last 5 weeks and they're 5 points off top, then who knows where we will be at that point.
That's right. And I think it's pretty clear based on what Simeone said and just sort of his attitude during the matches. I think it's pretty clear that he's favoring La Liga, as he should, in my opinion. So I think they'll go for La Liga no matter what and mostly play sort of the rotation players in the Europa League and just kind of see what happens. If they get to the final, great. If not, no big loss.
Yeah, I think Werner starts. I think Gamero starts. I think Tomas starts. Wouldn't be surprised if Felipe is going to start because he didn't play Sunday. And
Correa, maybe.
Correa might start. Wouldn't surprise me if Godin got another rest, because Villarreal at the weekend's a big game. Question from our patron, our Colchon Chat amigo, rather, Abdelmalik Alharboa. He asks, with Atleti almost securing their spot in the next round of the Europa League, in terms of prize money, any idea on how much winning the Europa League would equate to winning in the knockout stages of the Champions League, including the returns from broadcast rights?
That's a good question.
I don't yeah, it is. I don't have like the precise numbers, but I know the prize money, especially compared to the Champions League, is pretty crummy.
Yeah.
What did United make from winning it last year? Like,
I think they made somewhere like 13 million
like
pounds.
Like 20 million euros maybe?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah. I mean, you add on 5 or so million for TV money, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not that much. I mean, the Champions League money is a lot more, just because it's broadcasted everywhere in the world.
Yeah, Europa League broadcast rights are very different from Champions League broadcast rights. Everyone wants to watch the Champions League. Not a lot of people want to watch the Europa League. You have to be dedicated.
Yeah, unless your team's in it, I don't really see the motivation to watch the Europa League. There's some cool matchups, like Marseille Athletic, I thought was a fun match, but unless you're a total football dork, there's no real point to
Leipzig watch. Leipzig and Zenit, too, was a pretty good game.
Yeah, that was a good matchup as well. And
yeah, the prize money it's really just a fraction of the Champions League, which is why it was pretty bad for Atletico to finish third in the group in this year. Not only do you not get to proceed in the Champions League, but you lose a lot of money. And it was the driving factor of why Atleti needed to make 3 sales outside the window. They need to cut the wage bill.
Yep, that's right. And it wasn't good to go out of the Champions League. But at the same time, it also, if we were still in the Champions League at this stage, that would be a very different situation in terms of the La Liga race, I think. Probably by this point, we'd just say, all right, we're sacking off La Liga after we lost to Barcelona. Let's just go for the Champions League. And I'm not sure that would have gone much better.
Yeah. So. Real Madrid made 81 million euros, according to the BBC. They made 81 million for winning the Champions League last year. And I'm pretty sure it was around like 16 million for United winning the Europa League. Yeah, Madrid
clearly have, very big difference.
Madrid have the built-in advantage because they're Real Madrid. And Manchester United do as well. But this takes in like broadcasting rights, gate receipts, you know, going deep in the competition. But the prize money is pretty crummy. But winning it ensures you get back into the Champions League, which Atleti will be in next year regardless, because they're going to finish in the top 3, possibly even top 2.
Yeah, kind of perverse thing about Man United winning the Europa League was they're the richest club in the world, and they could have just literally dropped the money on the ground and not noticed. So.
Right. Like, you could have let Ajax win that, but nah.
They should have just given the money to Ajax. Like, we don't really need this.
We don't need this. Here you go. We'll take the trophy. It's like, take the cannoli, leave the gun.
Right, exactly. They just wanted the Champions League spot, so.
Prediction for Thursday.
I think it'll be a stinker. I think it'll be 0-0.
Yes. 0-0. I will go with... 1-1 doesn't feel right. I do think Atletico are going to score. I'll pick 1-1.
Yeah, I was wondering if they would light him up, but I just don't think they're going to really do that much. I don't think they're going to be going full tilt at all, so...
No, I think like Lokomotiv might score first, and Atleti might get a response, and that'll be it. I think that might be how it goes.
Then we're shutting up shop for the night, and that's it. So,
yeah. So that's Thursday. It's an earlier kickoff Thursday since it's in Russia and the time zones are all screwy.
Yes, we've had our own problems with time zones recently. So I don't know how we're gonna figure that one out.
Daylight savings.
Yes, it's so confusing.
Because of daylight savings, I think that might be like an 8 o'clock kickoff here in Arizona.
8 a.m.?
Yay!
Mercy.
Let's go.
That is really terrible.
Yeah, I think it's 8 a.m., but I'll double check when I do the How to Watch later this week. What else you got, man?
I think we've covered it all for this week.
Sweet. We are going to launch right into the rumor roundup after this for our Colchonero Chat amigos. But in the meantime, for all you regular listeners out there, That was Rob Walker. You can follow him on the Twitters at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You know how this next section goes. Subscribe and listen to Cult Chinaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. And if you're on Apple, if you're on iTunes, make sure to leave a rating and a review. It really helps get more eyes and ears on the program. You can also join all the fun at patreon.com/cultchinarochat and become a Cult Chinaro Chat amigo. I will be updating the reward tiers probably over the international break, so keep an eye out for that as we look to improve your experience. patreon.com/cultchinarochat. Until next time, adios.